Welcome, Beauty and Wellness Talk. This is our weekly radio show and podcast of Beauty and Wellness Talk. As you all know, Beauty and Wellness Talk, it's a weekly show that talks about issues of intersectionality of environmental justice and public health, especially focusing on addressing colorism and redefining what beauty is for our communities. So today, for the last few weeks, we have been focusing on different topics addressing the issue of disparities and health disparities as relates to coronavirus and other disparities. But today, we will focus on talking about in light of what happened in Minnesota for the last couple weeks, and also discussing about the intersectionality of identities, especially for young Somalis. And my guests today are Fatih and Ayan. So this will be a discussion about what, you know, like, the deeply rooted colorism or even identity issues that are so embedded in our cultures. And what does that even mean for young Somalis who are now have multiple identities, and that that they are Black, but also they identify themselves Muslim and Somali. And so how do we actually help young people define these multiple identities for themselves, and how do we make sure that parents understand that and that they embrace that they are Black, and that we support our other Black brothers and sisters? So welcome Fatih and Ayan to the show today, and introduce yourselves.
Hi, my name is Ayan Abdi. I'm an 11th grader. Yeah, it's nice to meet everyone on the live or whatever this is.
Thank you. Thank you. Fatih, go ahead, introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Fatih. I'm a recent grad at St. Kate's, and I work with Somali youth now through the Beauty Well Project, the Young Women's Wellness and Leadership Initiative, and I'm very happy to be here.
Thank you. Thank you, Fatih and Ayan. So Fatih and Ayan, you know, a couple of weeks ago, George Floyd have died because of skin color, because of the racism that's so much embedded in the system, the structural racism that's been so much embedded in the police system, but also other government systems and in general. So could you talk about when that happened, how you felt and how that impacted you?
For me, how I actually felt was, okay, now we actually have a chance to, like, to speak our mind. Because, like, Black people, after whatever, like, the whole thing that happened to them, now is their chance to, like, speak and say, okay, now we're having this platform. There's so many people that have died over this, like, over, like, the color of the skin. So now it's their chance to, like, speak out and be like, hey, this is not okay for us. And it's, like, now it's their time to be like, we don't like this, let's fix this, let's fix this. So I believe that it's, like, it's nice for them to, like, say what they have to say and not have to hide it no more.
Yeah, so it's, okay. Like, it's, like, collectively now changing, wanting to change the whole system, right? And asking for justice, like, forcefully. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have seen people who are protesting and saying that no justice, no peace. So could you talk mm-hmm. about that?
Yeah. Yeah, likewise with Ayan, I think this is a tragedy. This shouldn't have happened. George Floyd should be alive. And this is a traumatic thing for all of our communities, for everyone who looks like George Floyd, and anybody who has family members who look like George Floyd. That's something that's deeply traumatic. But I also think, on the other hand, it was a catalyst for change, in the sense that, like Ayan said, this was an opportunity for all of us who are for Black lives and all of us who are against this injustice and who want the world to change so that this doesn't happen again, to speak up and to, you know, through the demonstrations and protests all around the world, and especially here in Minneapolis, to finally be heard, or begin to be heard.
And also, the thing about now is that every community, like Somali people, and then there's white people, and then there's the, like, so many people came together, even though, like, they all came together as one. They unified themselves to, like, to say, like, okay, this is not how it's supposed to be. This is not how our lives are supposed to be. So everybody decided that it was time to change. We came as one. There's still a force of people where they still believe in, like, white people. Like, they you know, they believe in white people, like, lies. You get where I'm coming from?
Like, yeah. You mean, like, white people, they're the ones that created these systematic issue. It's like them who can also fix. Do you mean that?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really great point. And you know, it's a system change that needs collective effort and really redefining all of these, like, white supremacist systems that, you know, that's not for us. So for the last couple of weeks, you know, many of us did not get enough sleep. I started getting full sleep since Tuesday this week. So last week, and you know, it has been really, really difficult ever since this happened. And mainly it's, you know, like, how do we advocate justice, you know, continuing to advocate for justice, but also for our own safety, where, you know, white supremacists were attacking some of our neighborhoods. So one of that neighborhood, it's the Cedar Riverside. Could you talk about that? And I'm so proud that the youth actually organized themselves to really defend their neighborhood.
Yeah, actually, the first night that we heard, like, there were white supremacists, like, walking around, like, the neighborhood, it made everybody feel scared for their lives, you know? They felt like, oh, my God, it's our time to protect, like, the where we came from. Because people that live in Cedar, they've been there their whole lives. So for some, like, white people just to come there and, like, to burn it down or to, like, throw stuff at it, it's like, okay, you're hurting us. So it was like, okay, we have to show them that we're one. Like, this is our community, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, no one's going to come into our premises and be like, hey, I'm going to burn it down. We decided that, no, you're not. We're going to do this. We're going to defend ourselves, and to show that no one can come to us and, like, take us down.
Yeah, which is really amazing that came from the youth, you know, and they're still doing to this day, they're still doing every night, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it died down, though, a little. Because, like, there's a few people outside, but the first night, the first two nights was scary. Like, everybody was outside. Like,
yeah.
Everybody was outside. And then the three nights after that day, we, like, there's only, like, two or three, like older people out there.
Yeah, yeah. And I know that it's also in partnership with the West Bank Business Association, too. They have been trying to really support the community to defend themselves. But I just, you know, I just have to say that I'm so proud of Somali youth really defending, you know, like, their neighborhoods and also their businesses, you know. Even if you look at Caramel Mall and other malls, they have tried to organize themselves to defend themselves. And it's really sad, you know, that, you know, things like that happening now. But coming back to, you know, like, the intersectionalities of our identities, you know, we are Black, you know, African, you know, and we're immigrant to this country, and African Americans are our brothers and sisters, you know. We're all Black, and we have to be there, you know, to support them. It's not only support them, but also for us, because we're also Black. What impacts them also impacts us. So could you talk about that, Fathi and Ayan? How do you feel about that, you know? And looking at our parents, I want to ask you a follow-up question about in terms of our parents, you know, their viewpoint. But I just want to understand how you feel and what does that mean to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree with what you said, that we're Black. We share a race. Like, all of us have the same skin color. And because of that reason, what the racism that impacts Americans, Black Americans from the United States, also impacts immigrants like us, like the Somali community, who are Black. So this issue, this racism issue in the with police killing Black people, we are also a part of that. We're also at risk of that because when society looks at us, they see us as Black people. They see our skin color first.
Mm-hmm.
And I see a lot of like my peers and a lot of young Somali people embrace their multitude of identities, which includes their race and their ethnicity, their, you know, being Black. And for that reason, that's, I think, why we saw such a huge, huge organizing, support, protest, community patrolling and activism in the young Somali youth, among the young Somali youth in this era.
Yeah,
and there's also Somali people that don't claim that they're Black, and I'd be like, we came from Africa, you know that, right? Africa, so why are you saying they're not Black? It gets to me, like, bro, like this whole, your parents, they're African. Your ancestors used to be, I don't know if Somali people, like, used to be, Somali people were never slaves, were they?
Yeah, the Somali people are, you know, African, of course, Black. But yeah, there's, you know, I had a lot of people, you know, over the years, you know, both Ayan and Fatih, you know, my work, our work, actually, you guys are part of this too. It's really a change in colorism within our community, yeah. Outside our community. And through that, you know, a lot of people really wanted to change their skin color because of, you know, their brain, you know, like they have been colonized for many, many, many years, but we never decolonized their minds. And so that's the problem that we're dealing with, that to this day, that a lot, some of the Somalis, they don't think that they're Black.
Mm-hmm.
Could you guys talk about that?
I've seen that too. I mean, just because the majority of Somali youth understand that they're Black and they're seen as Black, if you grow up in this country as a Somali person, you know that you're Black. But in terms of like our parents and like older Somali people, some of them don't identify as Black. Like even when they're filling out forms, they might put other and then write Somali.
Even
if it's not ethnicity, and it's asking for race. And I think that shows the how deeply rooted colorism is in our sense of self and also how we identify.
Yeah, and one day I was helping one grandma. Yeah. Filling out her forms, you know, and then they asked her about her race, and she was gonna put others, but I'm like, aren't you African American? I don't know why you put others. They're like, no, I need Somali. I'm like, sis, don't do it. So I told her to write down African American. I just like, I took the pen and then I scribbled it in for her, and then I crossed out Somali. And then she's like, hey, you got it. I was like, okay. And then I was like, okay, honey. You gotta claim being African American, ma.
Yes, I love that, Ayan, and I love how much you embrace that. I remember during one of our sessions, in the beginning, we were talking about one thing that we're grateful for, and Ayan, you said, "I'm grateful to be a Black woman," mm-hmm. And I love that. I love that.
And yeah, and you know, we can't wait to share with the world. You know, your group video of addressing colorism. I mean, it's just like, it's so deeply, you know, rooted in our culture. And that is why people are getting exposed to multiple chemicals, because they want to really change their skin color. So imagine it's the example that you have shared now, that one of the elderly women that, you know, she didn't want to you know, but African Americans, she rather put other and then write Somali next to it. I mean, that's, you, don't you think that's the identity crisis?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At first, for me, I never like understand what colorism was. When I was around 13 or like 12, I never believed like what is colorism. I had to search it up when I was like, okay, what is colorism? And it gave me the definition. And then I started looking around Instagram or like around my feed. I saw like colorism is actually a real thing. If people are actually like making themselves feel like trying to like bleach their skin, I'm like, wow, is this how the world's gonna end up, like for people not to like feel or like care about the color of your skin? Mm-hmm. I was like, why do you have to change the way you are? Why can't you just embrace who you are and love it?
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes, I completely agree, Ayan. And I think also another part of the problem is that people think that they can't be both, especially a lot of like the older people in our community, like our parents, might not understand that they can be both Somali and African American, or Somali and Black, or all three, like Somali, African American, and Black, and Muslim. Like, yeah, that they can all coexist, and that just because you put down Black on a form, or just because you align yourself with Black issues like Black Lives Matter and see yourself in the victims of racism in this country, which we also are, doesn't mean that you're no longer Somali and your nationality and ethnicity no longer matter, but that us coming to the United States means that now we are also Black. We've always
preach,
been Black.
Let's say preach.
Black. Yes.
Preach.
Yeah, and Fathi and Ayan, that's when I'm saying the intersectionality of our identities, you know? You know, like, we identify ourselves as being Black, you know, African, you know, Somalis, and also Muslim, you know, if you look at the religion aspect too. So I think, you know, it's really important that, you know, people, we embrace who we really are. So Ayan and Fathi, how do we really help our elderly, women and men to really understand, or even parents to really understand? Because part of what I worry about is that, you know, because a lot of times individuals forming their identities, it starts very young, at very young age. And so okay, if let's say young people, if they have identity crisis, it's deeply rooted how they have been parented. So how do we really embed in the parenting process that parents understand that, you know, helping their kids understand that they're Black, you know? Mm-hmm. So could you talk about that? What are some of the approaches, and what do you know now that the parents do? Obviously, you know, there's so much learning there.
First, mm-hmm, they have to embrace it first. Then they can start teaching others. Like, they have to,
yeah,
learn about, like, okay, they have to understand that they're Black first before they do anything else. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have to be, okay, I'm a Black person. I live in this world. I'm Somali. I go about my day as a Black African American in Somali. I know how to speak Somali.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree with you, Ayan. And I think this is a really important point that you brought up, because if our like Somali parents ignore the fact that their kids are Black, or say that, no, we're not Black, we're Somali, and try to disassociate from other Black communities in the United States, or disassociate our issues with their issues, when a lot of them are overlapping,
yeah,
I think that can be a huge disservice to Somali kids that are growing up in this country, because they're going to be experiencing racism in the same,
yeah, and they're also
in similar
scared
ways. Yeah, in similar ways that Black children whose parents and have been in the United States for generations, they're going to be, because this country is going to see them as Black. And when their own parents don't believe in their idea of being Black and racism and all of that, that can really have a huge impact on children. And I agree, Ayan, that the first step is for the parents to recognize that they're Black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're thinking that they need targeted education about helping them understand their own identity and ways that they can embrace, us supporting them to embrace their identity.
Yeah, I think understanding like the history of Black people in this country, of African Americans, and how much of the civil rights that African Americans have fought for allowed us to live in this country in this way, exactly, of being able to buy a home if we want to, being able to go to schools, being able to do a lot of things that African Americans were not able to do in the beginning, we're now able to do in this country.
And, also,
and that's all thanks to the Black people who came to this country before us as slaves, and who have fought for so long for a lot of the rights that we now enjoy.
And also, like, we have to like give props to like to the slaves or to the African Americans who've been enslaved, because they had a lot of courage and like bravery, because they've been through stuff that nobody can understand, like, the mentally and physically no one understands how bad slavery was. So for people to like disclaim being Black is like a disgrace, like a disgrace to them,
yes,
but also to people that like who are people who are informing them about how bad slavery was. So to people to say that I'm not Black is like, it might hurt them, you know. It's like, okay, we did all this for people just to say they're not Black, and it's like, okay, wow.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. So absolutely, Fatih and Ayan, what you're saying is basically help them understand the historical, you know, of you know what, you know, Black Americans went through in this country.
Yes, and also the fact that colonization and slavery,
yes,
are siblings.
Absolutely.
They both come from white supremacy.
Yes, and
that's why. Is collective.
Yeah, you know, our community, they never decolonized their minds, you know? That's why people are using skin lighting products all the time and have, you know, a culture that embraces colorism. So I think absolutely they're the same, you know? Because that's the idea of white supremacy, that white is good. White is the only, you know, good one. So you're saying that it's something that they should really understand, and that we should formally educate in them.
Yeah, that our histories are so intimately interwoven together by our experiences of white supremacy, whether it be through slavery or it be through colonization, that we share that. We share that. Therefore, now we share the racism that also that we experience. And we're both,
and everybody,
just because
everybody,
you know,
has a platform.
Everybody has a platform. Just because you don't identify as a Black person, it does not save you from racism. Like, a cop will not stop you and ID you and see, okay, are you America born Black or are you Somali Black, and then let you go if you're Somali Black.
Absolutely.
At first sight, we're all Black. Ayan, go ahead, what were you saying?
No, I was actually listening to what you were saying. Continue.
Yeah, and then the thing is, you know, have you ever had conversation with your parents, for example, about you know, this whole, you know, discussion about identity and Black, being Black?
Me and my mom, we actually never had a deep conversation about it, because, like, my mom, she never been racially profiled before.
Yeah.
But she never has been in, like, a situation where, okay, she never has been in a situation where they're just looking at her skin color. Because my mom is light-skinned, you know?
I'm glad you're mentioning that. Because the thing is, even if she had that experience, she might not even identify it. Because she has to have skills to identify, you know? I have met a lot of Somali elderly women and men who actually, I asked them like, like what happens to you when you experience racism? And most of them, they don't actually know. But yet when they told me in a story way, you know, because they're very good storytellers, it's right there. They
have every Somali mom is a storyteller.
Yeah. Right there, they have experienced.
They're exaggerating it too. They exaggerate the story. Y'all know that, right? Every Somali mom.
It makes it only better.
Yeah, wallahi. I'm like, that happened. Allah. Wallahi,
it's the whole theater performance.
Yeah, it'd be so entertaining too. Oh my God, Hoy, that happened to you? You'd be saying, yeah, girl. I'm like, okay, ma. You're doing way too much right now. No point in doing all of that.
It's as if you're there with them, the way they tell the story.
Yeah.
And like the main point is not even like, the whole main point is she makes it so small, and then the imagination part, she makes it so big. I'm like, okay, what's the main point? Where are you
same,
going?
Same, Ayan. Same. My parents are the exact same way.
Yeah. So Ayan, going back to what you were saying, they cannot articulate what racism is because a lot of times they downplay it or they cannot identify it. But of course, they do experience. And going back to your mother, Ayan, your mother having a fair skin, you know? Mm-hmm. She might be, the society might favor her because of her lighter shade.
Yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. My mom look like she can be like a biracial, like she had biracial parents, like that's how like my mom is. So mm-hmm. I feel like if my mom was like the old times, like when like having darker skin color was a bad thing, my mom would have been passed like, okay, I'm this color, let me go. Like she would have been like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but so, now she's carrying her identity, other identities, her being Muslim too, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, like what she will have to experience that, you know, layer. Good. What about you, Fathi? Have you ever had conversation with your parents on, you know, being Black, in this country?
Yeah, definitely. This is definitely, especially now during like the murder of George Floyd, tragic murder of George Floyd, and the protests that are happening all over. That this has been like a constant conversation in our home, mm-hmm. and it's you know, like with Somali parents, at least my parents, they understand the injustice that happened in the case of the murder of George Floyd and the murder of a lot of Black people in this country. But I think that sometimes with our parents, there's like a separation between the identity of African American Black people and our identities, mm-hmm. and seeing race and ethnicity as being completely two different things and saying, no, I'm not Black, I'm not Mother, I'm Somali.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But then we're both Black and Somali, and that these things that impact Black people, that impact like Black people born and who have been in the United States for generations, also impact us. It can also impact my brothers. It can also impact my dad, my sisters, my mom, like all of us in the same kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
And that just because you identify as being Black doesn't mean that like you're no longer Somali.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely, Fathi. And I'm so glad that both of you, you and Ayan, having these conversations with them, because that is where it starts. But I'm also learning from you today that they need a really intentional education on Black history in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how much of our history overlap? How much of them come from the same source of racism?
Like history is repeating itself.
Yeah.
Like there is no resolution. Like there's no like. Nobody sat down and was like, okay, this is the resolution of being Black in America, you know?
Yes, I think another thing that we have to talk about, if we're being honest, is mm-hmm. also some supremacy that Somali people have believed, some of them, some Somali people believe they have over African Americans. because they're
better
because we were not enslaved, right?
Yeah.
And
they always think they're better than black people. Somali people think they're better than black people, and they don't understand that they're black people.
Yeah. They're black people, and the whatever racism that African Americans experience, we experience the flip side of that, which is colonization.
Yeah.
And for us, even if we didn't go through slavery or anything like that, we're still Muslim, you know? We were still being called
Islamophobia.
Yeah. And that is exactly goes back to what you were saying about, you know, their lack of literacy when it comes to their own identity and the black history in this country. And so that's, you know, also what creates tensions sometimes between the Somalis and the black African-American community here, you know, because of, you know, these like tensions. And that is, I think, things that, you know, like that we really need to work hard to make sure that our community understands who they really are and really embrace their blackness and raise their kids that they are black before they're even Somalis, you know? Yeah.
And that we're fighting for the same thing. You know, what is fought for the black community here, which is eradicating police violence and the racism that's entrenched in that caused the death, the murder of George Floyd, is something that will also benefit us because we look
at we're all fighting for equality.
We look black too. Just thinking to yourself from these issues and saying, oh no, it doesn't impact us because we're Somali, it's just simply not true. That's just not true. Because and you
Somalis have their own problem itself, though. So the whole Somali community, there's always a problem in it. And we still got to solve that. And on top of that, we're black, too.
Yeah.
So it's like putting 2 + 2 together. It's like, okay, when are we going to find a solution to this?
Yeah, I mean,
there's Qadians, too. Somali people.
We have internal division of tribes. You know, like we have that, like being immigrant in this country, we are black, you know, and then there's so many disparities that impact our communities. Look at coronavirus. It's this.
And we still don't have no solutions for either one of them.
Yeah.
You know that. Even COVID-19, there's no solution. Tribal, there's no solution. Being black, there's no solution.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay. What are we gonna do?
Yeah, so I'm so glad that we're having this discussion so that, you know, so that we identify these issues and really support our community to really help them with their learning. You know, this is a journey that they need to take to learn themselves so they teach their kids. Go ahead, Fathi. Are you going to say something?
Oh, yes. I was going to say that I think this is absolutely something that needs to be addressed, the idea of identity in the United States and how that is something that is a multitude, how they're intersections. And being one doesn't mean that you can't be the other. But on the other hand, like with a lot of young people, including like Ayan, who's on this call right now, are understanding that. And that gives me hope for the future. And you can see it in the numbers of Somali youth who showed up in solidarity and who showed up during the Black Lives Matter protests in this state.
Yes. I was so proud to really meet with them when I was distributing the face masks and hand sanitizers. It was just so amazing to see to see them in numbers, you know?
Yeah.
And really whether they were, you know, like donating food or you know, like actually participating in a protest. And I think it's just so amazing, and I'm really proud of the young people. And that's why Beautywell, you know, like we give effort to support young people to really define who they are and really support their leadership journey. So I'm really proud of all of you. So before we end the radio session today, Fathi and Ayan, what advices do you have for parents that they are listening to this radio show, or they will be listening to? So what advices do you have for them?
I'm going to say to all my hoyos and to all my aunts out there, please learn that, learn about the history of, like, the history of everything. Like, learn about being Black, learn about everything in the future so that you can teach your children, or you can tell your children to not be afraid of being Black, Somali, and everything. Being Black, Somali, and Muslim all together.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ayan. What about you, Fathi?
Yeah, I completely agree, Ayan. I think all of this starts with education and educating ourselves. And this doesn't necessarily mean having to go and get a textbook on African American history or anything like that. It can simply also mean having conversations with the Somali youth in your life. If you have children, if you have nieces, nephews, anybody who has been born in the United States or who grew up here, have conversations with them about their identities, about how they identify, about the history of Black people in this country, and also learning our own history, like learning the history of our country, learning the history of Somalia, I think will also help in bridging the gap between Somali youth and how they proudly identify as Black, and that they are Black, and some of the third generation that don't see that as much, or they may distance themselves from the identity and the issues that impact Black people. Mm-hmm. I think having the cross-generational conversations about that and understanding our own history and the history of this country through that will help.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Fathi, for saying that as well. So thank you so much, Fathi and Ayan, for joining me today for our beauty and wellness talk. So thank you. I am hoping to reconnect with you soon, very soon, sometime next week actually. And definitely, this is discussion that we need to continue. That we need to really help our community. Our community to embrace who they really are, but also us continually to redefine what beauty is also for our community, so we collectively end colorism. So thank you for joining me today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Thank you.